yesterday's abbreviated show, Julie did a premier coaching call, and during the premier coaching call, she actually had someone tell her in Irvine, California, what did he say to you, Julie?
He said that he now sees this as the opportunity that he hadn't seen before regarding how to find stuff for his buyers that, guess what, isn't actually in the MLS. And now he's able to actually get buyers in contract. We also had a really great discussion about the fact that oftentimes a resale buyer using a traditional loan with, you know, choose your lender, actually can buy more in new construction, not less, when the builder does rate buy downs. So that was part of this coaching client's homework, was to find out which builders were buying down the rate. So for example, if you're a $500,000 resale buyer using a traditional loan at, you know, between 4% and 5% in most cases right now, but the builder is subsidizing the financing and maybe is doing a rate buy down to say 2% for the first 3 years, something like that is pretty typical, that $500,000 resale buyer now becomes about a 625 new construction buyer because their payment will be the same. So this also kind of speaks to the fact that many of those resale buyers don't think that they're a new construction buyer because the new construction starts higher than what they were looking for. So there's a lot of education involved in this process, and that's why we wanted to dedicate a couple of podcasts to this, to at least get them started and send them down the path of turning this into a viable, productive spoke.
Julie, did you answer Don Atkinson's email?
Let me look it up. I've been doing lots of emails. So
I'll read it. And Don, so this is an email we got this morning, and I thought it'd actually be a good email for us to read to all of you guys, because it's kind of a lot of you are in this transitional, going from one thing to the other, transitioning into real estate full-time, or at least you're doing real estate part-time and you are moving towards doing real estate full-time or some version of that. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of times we'll have people who are consider themselves full-time in real estate, and then they start tuning into this podcast and they join the coaching program and they realize that they really have only been doing it they've only really been operating as if they were a part-timer. In other words, you might think you're full-time, but then when you actually run into somebody who's truly professional, you realize that at best you're working the same amount of effort and putting the same amount of time as someone who is part-time. So just keep all these things in mind. So here's the email. Dear Tim and Julie, I've been coaching students for 2 years. I've learned a lot, and I've learned a ton in having the information available on the website. I have 35 years in law enforcement and going on my fourth year in real estate. I'm ready to take to the next level and get my business more organized. Rochelle, it's been awesome. I have a plan already to retire from law enforcement within the next 6 to 12 months. I have my PLP, I assume she means done, but honestly, I have not completed my proven home selling guide. Again, coaching clients, you know what that is. I'm in the process of completing it now. I want to start nurturing my niche and once again, considering Homes for Heroes and or Heroes Home Advantage. I was wondering if you have any input, success or not from either company. I know we all like a discount and feel this will help me get an edge over the others in my office that forgot I was in real estate or do not think I take it seriously. Thank you for your time. And then she says, Don, writing from my mobile office in my patrol car. So Don,
wow.
Yes. So here's the answer to your question specifically. When you're getting started, if you are, you're obviously a police officer and those organizations are organizations that might be in alignment with your career as a law enforcement officer, I would strongly encourage you to get involved with both. I think it's a great idea. And yes, you might have to initially have to pay referral fees and things of that nature, but it's probably a good way for you to get a leg up and start building momentum. What you need to do more than anything, Don, is you need to build massive momentum fast. A lot of coaching clients join our organization and they think that they have to learn everything. And I kind of see you falling into the same bucket, learn everything before they get started. That is the exact opposite. Like Don, when you were becoming a cop, you had to learn tons of things. You had to go to school. You had to learn all these, you know, laws. You had to do all this stuff before you actually were able to do your job. Well, you can't do that in real estate. You have to work while you're learning, or as we like to say, earn while you learn. Are you listening? Are you listening? The 100,000 plus of you. Do not wait just for you to have mastery of something. You get mastery, you learn while you're earning. Practice on your clients, they won't know. So for gosh sakes, don't waste any more time. Just start doing deals. And here's the magical thing that happens is when you're in the process of trying to master a new skill, at the same time you're working with buyers and sellers, your learning curve for that new skill will go from a year to nothing. Like, for example, if you have a killer listing opportunity this weekend, all of a sudden, magically, your PLP is going to get done. All of a sudden, magically, you've listened to all the training we have on Premier Coaching about how to go on a listing appointment. You have the process down because you have the pressure of wanting to get that listing this weekend. Operate like that at all times with everything that you do. That's the reason we want you guys to take a holistic approach to your lives with regards to your business success. That's the reason we're big advocates of Orange Theory Fitness. When you do things that are going to constantly be challenging you and constantly going to be forcing you to push the ball down the field, as it were, into the end zone, you are, and it's not just one thing. It's not just, I'm trying to get better at real estate. I'm trying to get better at this, the other thing. When you're working on all cylinders, you'll build a lot more momentum faster. Your car will go faster, opposed to, say, a V8 engine with only two cylinders working. Does that make sense, guys? So I strongly encourage you not to wait around to know the material from Premier Coaching. We want you to get into action doing the 90-day massive action plan. We want you to get into action doing the massive action plan, making contacts at the same time you're getting the pre-listing pack done. You see the difference, Dawn and everybody else? So, Julie, anything you want to tag on to that?
Yeah, well, it's the whole earn while you learn philosophy. And, you know, I can see in law enforcement how it would be very beneficial to front load the learning for your own safety and everyone else's and all that good stuff and confidence levels and all of that. But in real estate, fortunately, the prospect doesn't know what you don't know. And as long as you have your great basic scripts and keep coming to my Premier Coaching sessions, because we do a lot of from the basic to the very advanced scripts, objection handling, all that kind of stuff, then your job is to indeed earn while you learn. And you're going to get a lot more confidence faster, and you're going to build that center of influence. And I agree with what you said about the Homes for Heroes programs. I think that's fantastic and in alignment with what she already does. So big fan of that. Even with the referral fees, you know, let's say it's on a listing, you're going to get business also from that listing. So that offsets it. And I think that would be a great thing for her to do. Looking forward to continuing that conversation. So it's all good. I got a couple of quick shout outs on Facebook, and then we'll get into new construction if you'd like.
Sure. Go ahead. Quick.
All right. Perfect. So just a couple of people in a conversation, they were sharing on the private Facebook page what their favorite things from Premier Coaching have been. And here's somebody who puts them in order. Treasure map, pre-listing package, listing presentation, buyer presentation, applying with BPO companies, daily habit of prospecting, and the whiteboard scenario for tracking. So that's a whole lot of things in one back and forth. A lot of discussion on that. And then I believe there is a referral for Wisconsin on the Facebook page. And then just a quick reminder, if you don't already have your Harris Rules book, go to Amazon and find it. It's called Harris Rules, easy to find. And just a quick couple of reviews. Luis Gabriel wrote, eminently practical hands-on guide for professionals who really know what they're talking about because they've been there. Easy to read, easy to follow advice. And then from Dolores Taliaferro, I like this book a lot. It's money well spent. I'm a new agent, gave me lots of good information I can use right now. I want to get a coach and jump start my career. Thank you. So there you are. And let's jump into the continuation of our new construction talk. Yesterday we talked about what it is. Now we're going to talk about why. Go ahead.
Okay, so to set this conversation up, here's the reality. A lot of you don't realize that new construction is hardly ever in the MLS. So if you are in a market where there's not a lot of inventory, you are going to find yourself basically losing lots of opportunity. You're going to have sellers that want to sell but can't find anything. You're going to want to have, you know, buyers that want to buy, don't have anything to sell. Maybe they're coming out of rentals and they can't find anything. In most major markets, new construction is going to be your key. You cannot just search in the MLS. I said that a million times. Sometimes if you're lucky, there's a local BIA. I forget what that stands for, but it's your building association. If you're lucky, there's one in your marketplace where you can go and get that information. You can do some searching to find, just go doing some Google searching. In some markets, there's like in Houston, like the number one agent in the United States, actually, he has the most listings and his company pushes the most transactions. But what he does is he built a website where new construction builders put all their listings, and he gets listing credit for everyone that passes through his brokerage. I don't know what he's making as far as a fee, but there's a site that he has that he built for new construction that is not in the MLS. And if you go to the MLS looking for his listings, they're not there. But if you or for listings of the builders, but you guys get the point. So you're going to have to be creative. Worst case scenario, you're going to have to drive around and you're going to have to look for signs. Now, big subdivisions, those are easy to find. Infill lots are going to be a lot more of a challenge. So So if you're in a marketplace where it's landlocked, where there's no new fields nearby, or, you know, there's no prospect of any big subdivision, maybe they're building condos, maybe they're building, you know, big condo buildings by tearing down or building on parking lots or whatever. I mean, that's all stuff you're going to have to learn by just driving around. Again, it doesn't hit the MLS. If you're in like West Hollywood, or you're in one of those markets where it'll be like a street of houses that have been there forever and then one new construction house, again, drive around, look at the names on the signs. Sometimes if you find a construction guy, you can ask for the foreman's phone number. You can usually find out who the builder is. You can usually get in contact with somebody from one of the signs, then to just essentially track down who the owner of the property is. And then if nothing else, you can help your buyer purchase the house, or maybe you can talk your way into a listing, okay? So what you need to do is you need to realize that in this marketplace, pretty much in every part of the country, new construction is dominating most of the buyer side transactions. And if you're not tuned into that, you're missing some of the easiest opportunity. Working with new construction, as Julie's going to talk about today, especially if it's a big builder, working with a new build rep is one of the easiest deals you'll ever do. So simple, requires virtually none of your time. You can literally and legally just make the introduction, buyer, home builder, and you are done and your commissions are locked in. And that home builder is not going to be a licensee. They're not going to show other construction or resale. You're not going to have to worry about them stealing your buyer. They're going to sell that buyer that new construction house. You have nothing to do with the process. A lot of you are going to want to inject yourselves into the process, but you really don't have to. You just let the buyer and that new build rep get the property and contract. And then magically, it'll be 6-7 months from now, and you'll get a commission check in the mail that you'll have forgotten about maybe, okay? So that's the idea, to be thinking bigger with your opportunities in your marketplace. Julie, so jump right back in.
Yes, so yesterday we talked about why you care. You touched on, you know, it's great inventory for buyers. We talked about the major part of most markets. If you're ignoring it, you're cutting out a whole chunk of your potential commissions. Well, point number three, you just talked about that one relationship with the builder, the developer, or the sales manager can lead to many multiple transactions. I'll give you case in point. One of my private clients in Atlanta interviewing with a builder this afternoon for a 70-unit project with promises for a second 70-unit project down the street from the first one. She's going to handle the whole thing from, you know, construction on up. So one relationship, multiple units. That is a beautiful thing. Point number four, end the frustration of being in a competitive offer situation with your buyers time and again, where they keep getting shot down. That's not going to happen when they build. They're the one person for the one house. New construction offers them freedom of choice, time to move, and no rehab costs, not to mention not having to compete. Point number five, buyers can often get more home for the same payment if you find them a builder with in-house financing, rate buy-down options, or other types of assistance. Point number six, this is actually easier prospecting than many of the other spokes. Why? Because builders usually have the commission built into their pricing, and as Tim previously mentioned, they're not that interested in doing the transaction in the sense of what you're doing, writing the contract, you know, doing the prospecting, the marketing, closing them, all that good stuff. So it's actually easier than you might think. Now, next, we're going to move on to what are the various opportunities available when I really learn this spoke of business. We're going to start with the easiest, and then we're going to go advanced, okay? So this is what a lot of people have requested. How do I get started? And then we'll take it to the next level. So number one, you have an opportunity to potentially sit in the new construction model home during the hours the builder doesn't have coverage. I have two different clients in Texas doing this right now, Tim, with KB Homes, which is a pretty big builder, but in certain subdivisions, they didn't have all the coverage. I believe their deal was whatever they sell that's in inventory, the agent makes 4%. If they don't buy a KB home, the agent gets to keep that prospect. So it's a pretty good deal. That's without actually having any of it listed. You're just sitting in the model. So again, sell their product when you can. Keep the leads who don't build with that builder or don't build at all. Think listing leads, new construction buyer leads. You know, some of the people walking in that door have to sell a home first. So that option number one is easiest because it doesn't require you getting a signature out of the builder. You're not listing anything. All you're doing is helping them out. It's almost like holding a FSBO open in a sense. Okay, so that's easy. Number two, create a relationship with the new build reps and or the sales managers at different projects, where they refer the resale listings to you. If they're licensed, you can pay them a referral fee. If they're not, you can show your gratitude with gift cards. All this makes sense so far, Tim? I mean, you and I talk
And
about this
most
all
of
the
the
time. I got to pause for them to digest it a little bit.
most of them are not licensed, okay? Most broker most
True.
builders do not hire licensees to sit in their models as new build reps. And exactly what Julie just said, you can get that relationship with them, and then you'll have to earn the relationship and earn their trust. But when Julie and I sold real estate, there were a few new build reps that would send us resale listings. So and so needs to sell their whatever before they can buy their new construction house. That listing lead would go to us. You guys can establish the same thing. And Julie just touched on this as well. One of the greatest ways you can actually establish yourself in good with some of these new build reps is, let's say the new build rep doesn't want to work this Sunday and they need somebody to sub for them. Or maybe the new build, this is common too, they're only open on, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How about you go and hold the new build office open on the days that they're not open anyway? Obviously, you have to work that out with them, and then let them, and then you pick off the leads that walk in. You know, why you guys got to think out of the box here. One of these relationships, let alone two or three, can be a huge spoke for you and your business. We've known people that have done exactly what we just said. You know, I remember back a coaching client I had. This was probably about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And it was a gal. And what she would do is, there was a local builder and they're only open for like maybe 8 hours on Saturday. She would go there on Sunday and she would park her car out front and wait for people to pull in looking for information on the new construction. And then she would just pick them off. She'd say, "Hey, I got all the information right here." She had it in her car. And she'd basically act as a new build rep. She'd grab their information and then she'd register them, which we're, you know, going to get to, but here's the punchline. You've got to make sure you get that buyer's information. And then most builders will just allow you to be, if you register them, say, you know, "Here's Bill and Betty Smith. Here's their phone number. Here's their whatever." If Bill and Betty ever go back there and buy from that builder, you're going to get paid, even if you only had that brief interaction with Bill and Betty. You can do this without an agency relationship. Do you guys understand what we're saying? So this agent that I'm telling you about, she would just pick them off. She'd just talk to them, give them the information. Some of them would say, "Yeah, let's go and I'll work with you." Others would be, "Well, thanks for the information." And then she goes, "Well, I have some more information. Can I send it to you?" "Great." And then she'd say, "Well, I'm going to register you with the builder just in case you have any additional information. They'll know how to get hold of you." "Okay, great." And then she'd get commission checks from the builder because she registered them. They all work that way. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So sometimes they'll say, "Required, you know, agent must be with buyer on initial meeting." Well, I mean, sometimes not. Regardless, your relationship with that new build rep will dictate how much to that particular policy, if they even have that policy, they're going to, you know, uphold. So just keep these things in mind. Are you guys starting to feel your commission juices flowing? Julie, next point.
I hope so. Okay. So going more advanced now, point number three, list. Now we're talking about actually presenting, using your pre-listing package and getting a real contract signed. List the spec homes the builder has under construction. So what is a spec home? It's a home they're speculating on. They do not have a buyer in contract yet on that home. A lot of times this is going to be, you know, the builder's already building 12 houses and two of them are spec homes, the other 10 have contracts on them. Sometimes it's all 10. It just depends on the builder and the situation. But yes, of course you can list spec homes. You know, there's varieties of this as well. Sometimes new construction expires. That's another flavor of this. To do a very specific MLS search, Tim, you and I, you remember several projects that we got this way. You do a real specific expired MLS search. You're not too specific on the area code because you're looking pretty much all over town, and you're looking for year built, sometime in the past 3 years to present, and you're looking for expired new construction. Probably a spec home, might have been a builder home that somebody backed out on. Those are fantastic because they're almost always absolutely complete, ready to sell and close. So that's fun too. Or new construction spec homes, two flavors of that. Point number four, list every listing the builder has, representing them on the whole project. As I said, my Atlanta client is interviewing right now as we speak for one of these, listing every listing the builder has. All right, point number five. Once you've got all this locked down, sell as much as you can yourself to your own buyers, controlling more of the project and keeping the builder as happy as possible to move on to future developments. Point number six, bring the builder slash developer land. Sell them the land, the new homes, sell those homes, lather, rinse, repeat. Sometimes that requires that you're listing the basically all of the lots, and you'll actually sell the lots to other builders in that same community, building even more relationships, if that makes sense. So it kind of snowballs. And then most advanced, number 7, develop land yourself or with investors. This may include house by house teardowns, rehabs, larger projects, mixed use projects, condos, townhomes, whatever your flavor is. So some of our private clients are developers and they're, you know, doing some combination of this. So we started with the easiest one, which is simply sitting in the new construction model and selling for that builder and then keeping those leads, to the most advanced, actually developing yourself. Is there anything you'd add to that, Tim? What have I missed on our list here?
I'm just remembering, frankly, as you were talking, I was remembering all the ways that you and I happened to cross builders, how innocuous they would sometimes come to us. I remember the time, I mean, this isn't exactly to your point, but I remember the time we got a random call. I even remember the guy's name was Matt Trucco, and he called us and he said, you know, actually it was a different builder now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, he called and said, I got some dirt. And I remember you answered the phone and you were like, okay, this is some lunatic. I'm obviously going to transfer him to Tim. So, so I get this call. Hey, this is so-and-so. So I saw you guys had a sign out on this, you know, it was a New Albany Country Club. I saw you guys had a for sale sign on whatever street it was, Ely Court or whatever it was. And he said, I'm digging a foundation. I was just wondering if you guys need any fill dirt. Cause you know, dirt has value. And he was just saying, I'm building a house adjacent to this one. I'm digging out the basement. Ohio East Coast has basements. And so he's just wondering if we wanted his dirt for free that he's pulling out of the ground. And from that, guys, from that one call, we ended up not just listing that house that he was building the foundation in, but another house that he's also going to spec on a New Albany Country Club. And then we ended up listing a beautiful house that he had clear across town he had for sale for a long time. It was another spec that we ended up selling. And then he ended up listing a 73 unit condo complex with us, all from that dirt call.
Yeah.
But just so for the record, that came actually off a sign call originally. So that's how, you know, one thing can lead to another. The smarter move would be is if there's a subdivision nearby where it's not just dominated by one builder, it's not, you know, a KB Homes type deal, where it's a higher end subdivision where there's 5 or 6 different builders, go and get to know these builders, talk to them, find out what basically, you know, what their plans are, and be creative, do whatever it takes to get that relationship. Sometimes you might want to just, you know, maybe the guy's got 5 lots and he's already got 5 approved plans. And he's going to be building these houses in the future. Why don't you make a flyer for all the houses he's going to be building? And why don't you start circulating that information so you can start getting some buyer leads? You bring those buyer leads to him, and not only might you sell a house to one of your buyers and get commission on that, but you might actually end up with the listings. Because a lot of the ways that these smaller or mid-sized builders work is if you sell one of their houses, they'll list a spec with you. That's what we've discovered with most of these guys that do less than 6 houses or 10 houses a year. So you sell one of their houses to your builder, their whatever spec they've got becomes your listing. That's their little incentive to get you to sell their inventory. So I know some of you guys are absolutely incredibly excited because you're realizing all the opportunity that you can be chasing. If you're in Houston or if you're in LA, you actually might be stunned at how many multi family buildings are being built where they would love to list with you. We know a lot about the new construction end of things when it comes to listing and marketing high-rise developments. One of my personal coaching clients is essentially an executive at one of the largest new construction developers in the world. I won't mention the name or his name because I have a non-disclosure with him. But here's the thing. They don't list the units that are going to be the buildings that are less than 20 units. And hardly anybody does. So those usually end up being listed by residential real estate folks, not new construction companies like what he runs. So you might want to seriously consider going after those, finding out who's developing and building those, and calling them, just cold calling them. Go by and swing by and talk to them to find out what their policy is on listing properties and get the conversation started. A lot of these guys have relationships with agents, but they're not, obviously the relationships aren't so solid that they've already decided to list with these agents. They might list 1 unit with you or 5 units with you just to test you out, but it's your foot in the door. You have to be ambitious. You have to see the opportunity. It is everywhere. Next point, Julie.
Yes, so I think this is going to lead to more discussion tomorrow, but this is the beginning of our actual action plan. How do I get started on this? What are we supposed to be doing to get this spoke moving? So we'll start with number one, because everybody needs to do this. Number one is find the new construction in your area. If you don't know about it, you can't do any of this. So create a file, a spreadsheet, a PDF. Somehow you're going to stay organized. So you have new construction, your own, basically what you're doing is creating your own kind of new construction MLS for your own quick reference. The local builder associations can help you know who's building what, where, and for what price. I'm posting an example, like TexasBuilders.org is an example of that. They publish a directory of exactly who's building what, where, and for what price. So find it. How do you find it? Tim, you mentioned this. You got to drive around yourself. You've got to look in your local weekend newspaper. A lot of the builders advertise. They've got billboards. They've got advertising themselves. That's another great benefit to working with builders, by the way. They already have a marketing budget. I'm just saying. Okay,
well,
so
some
find
of them,
it and
but,
get to know.
I mean, you could,
not all of them. That's true. Not the smaller
right.
guys.
So you could, most of you guys are going to have your easiest success if you work with directly with the new build reps in these new, in the big subdivisions like we described for you a second ago. But a lot of you are going to find the biggest opportunities working with the small and medium-sized builders. Go to the BIA meetings. Go to the meetings where they are. Go to the meetings where there's like literally these builders will get together at the BIA, obviously, but there might be required meetings that they have to go to if they're wanting to build. And New Albany Country Club was a perfect example. You had to basically be a qualified builder. You can get the lists of the qualified builders from whoever's developing the property. So guys, think out of the box on these things. I'll tell you something else that builders love. They love raw land. If you happen to list or know of a property that's like 5 or 6 acres, you might find that you have an opportunity not just to sell the. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, or 2 days ago actually, and he and here in and you know just north of Austin, he has, I think it was a 10-acre parcel, and he just listed it for sale with an agent. It's like $600,000 or $700,000. Now I don't have a real estate license, so you know I'm not chasing the listing. I was just trying to help him, and he was asking like showings, no offers, and I said, well, why are you not? What's the properties around you? Are they all big parcels like yours? And they weren't. They were small parcels or smaller than his, half acre, acre lots. I said, well, why haven't you considered subdividing these? And he goes, well, my agent didn't suggest that. And so I asked him to go and do some homework and find out what similar acreage is selling for. Get this, guys. He could divide his property into 10 different parcels, basically 10 different parcels. And each of the parcel would be worth, the least it would be worth would be about 95,000. And it could be worth, I didn't see the land, and it could be worth as much as 130 based on comps. So his land value, just selling the land, subdividing it and selling the land, is worth more than what he's asking for the whole property. And that's the land value without the value of the existing house. So my suggestion to him is that he either spends the money and time, gets it subdivided, which he didn't want to do, or go find a builder to sell it to where that's where he'll find the opportunity. But his listing agent hadn't thought of any of this. They're just looking at it as a single listing. Yeah. Now, I don't know the agent, but here's the opportunity the agent missed. The agent, having taken this listing, you know, had they seen the opportunity I just described to you, could have taken that parcel to a builder and said, look, I have got the opportunity for you to do your own little 10-unit subdivision or more if you want to do half-acre lots. But here's the deal. I'll introduce you to it. You got to buy it. I'm going to represent you. I'm going to double end it. And then when you develop it, I get the listings and whenever you build there. If all you do is develop the land, then I want the land listings. If you end up doing specs, okay. So you can carve out that kind of deal on the other side of it too. And that could have been one thing leads to another, leads to another. When you guys hear about these agents who have these big subdivisions and make all this money off these deals that essentially are like a daisy chain, like what I just described, you know, that is how they do it. They're thinking big picture. So many of you just think transactionally, one deal to the next. Think 10 deals ahead. Think 10 years ahead. And that's how you guys can become rich doing real estate. Now, remember, your whole point of this is for you to do transactions. Your whole point of this is to make the transactions profitable. And with that profit, you can reinvest that money. And by the way, then maybe you get into development yourself. So, Julie, are you still on? Nope, she went to Premier.
I am.
Oh, you are.
It's okay. Rochelle's day. Rochelle's doing the BPO short sale REO part of Premier. But yeah, I think, you know, there's so much opportunity with new construction. And I do get a little bit testy with agents that claim that there isn't any around them. Maybe in a few cases they're right, but by and large, just because you haven't seen it in the MLS, just because you haven't sold it to your buyer, does not mean it doesn't exist. Okay. It's out there and there's so much opportunity. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you guys another example since Julie's going to stay on the line. She experienced this as well. One of the wealthiest guys that we've run across in the past 5 years, I'm not going to give any information on him, but he's down in Houston. He has a huge, huge car collection. Anyway, the way he's made his money, he has a real estate brokerage, but that isn't how he's made his money. He's made his money because in Houston, this downtown area of Houston was essentially made in a lot of condoized, basically. So old apartment buildings or houses on big parcels. So what he did is he has spent a long time getting to know the marketplace, contacting people that had big parcels, single families, where the lots could be made into multifamilies. Sometimes they're just 4 units and 6 units. Other times they're 10 and 12 units. And what he did is he would go and put these in contract. He would go and get all the Mickey Mouse, zoning, if there was any. Houston's got very liberal zoning laws, which is some of you guys would, if you go to Houston, you're driving down a street, you're going to see essentially things that if you're coming from, say, California, won't make sense because you're going to see a real interesting mix of residential and commercial, more so than you've ever seen before, because zoning in Houston is very lax. Texas in general, it is, by the way. People are expected to essentially, you own land, you get to control the use of it. And that's in Houston, that creates interesting opportunities for him because he can find properties, parcels, he gets them locked up. He doesn't close on any of them, but he does spend money in essentially getting everything inspected, getting everything checked out. And then what he does is he flips the project to a builder or a developer, and then he gets the listings on those condos. He doesn't actually do virtually any development himself. He basically goes out and bird dogs the properties. He'll then essentially say, I know this is going to be good for a potential 10 family. I know a builder that might want it. He then basically puts the package together, gets the survey done, gets everything done, doesn't close on it, has basically an option on it so the seller, the owner can't sell it to somebody else during the option period. And then he just basically sells it and margins it to another builder. But his real end game is that he wants the listings on whatever they end up building there. And that's what the listings to his brokerage go to. And so he ends up with literally, I don't know how many has now, but he had, last time we were down there, he had probably hundreds of new condo listings all over Houston from doing exactly what we just said. So he was making money on every transaction 3 and 4 times. And if they doubled it 5 times, if they doubled and did their listing. You guys think like that. Think bigger. That's what new construction, the opportunity it creates. So when you go on when you call on a for sale by owner, you call on expired, you just basically are out and about, look to see all the different opportunities that parcel, that property might represent more than just a single transaction. So listen, guys, we're going to wrap for today. We're going to pick up tomorrow. And then we're going to move on to a new topic tomorrow as well. If you need us for anything, it's tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Guys, listen, you everywhere and at all times, you're always going to be surrounded by folks that want to buy or sell real estate. Julie and I have people on a regular basis, email, Facebook, they'll chat us, whatever, because of the book, international bestseller. So people come to us and ask for business advice. And we get a lot of questions from budding entrepreneurs. And they're asking us questions like, what should I get into? What business should I get into? And Julie and I mean, obviously our go-to answer is real estate, but we've actually considered if there's anything better than real estate. And there isn't. We have yet to come up with something which allows you the flexibility, allows you the opportunity to make as much money where your startup expenses are so minimal, virtually nothing. It's essentially your education. You get a good education. Premier coaching is our answer to that question. You're going to be able to make unlimited amounts of money. What my suggestion to you is all of you, is you see real estate for the blessing that it is, because everywhere around you at all times, there are people that are either looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to invest, looking to buy an investment property, looking to downsize, you guys get the point. Everybody around you at all times wants to buy or sell real estate. Julie and I know somebody who sells private jets. How often do you think she runs into somebody just out and about at Starbucks that wants to buy or sell a private jet? Versus at Starbucks, every single person in line, every single person behind the counter is in real estate. They're renting, wanted to buy, they own a big house, so they don't want it anymore. You guys get the point? That's the thing about real estate that's unique about real estate. I cannot think of any other product other than like your necessities of food, water, healthcare, I suppose. But even then, it's not as good as real estate because you don't have any expenses in getting in the business. Not really. Your real estate license, what, $1,000, $1,500? Or Premier Coaching, you get into that program if you finance it for $100 a month. I mean, these are no-brainer things. And do not make this so difficult. Real estate is a simple, elegant business that if you just drill down and stay focused and don't allow your ego or your mind to get, you know, essentially distracted by all the pretty shiny objects. There's so many people out there that would love to do business with you and so much money you can make. Guys, it's unlimited opportunities. So for those of you who want to email us and ask us what business you should get into, if you're 20 something and trying to decide, look for some career direction, again, I love answering those questions, but the answer is always going to be real estate. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.